here at church. My name is Walter Patterson. I'm one of the pastors here at Willingdon Church in the area of prayer and care ministry, as well as the Japanese language ministry. And we are just so grateful this weekend to get together, to be able to worship together and to witness the baptism, just to be thankful to God. It's a wonderful, wonderful time, and I'm glad that you've come today to this time. Now, usually Pastor John is up here, and he gives a sermon on Philippians, but today we are going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I heard a story about two men who were out in the field, and they were just enjoying a good conversation and the nature around them when they saw a black bull coming charging at them. Now, they started to run, and they tried to look for the nearest fence, and as they were running, one of the guys says, "Johnny, you've got to pray to God for help. Pray, Johnny." And he says, "Well, I've never done any public prayer." And of course, they're huffing and puffing as they're running to the nearest fence, realizing that they're not going to make it. And all of a sudden, he says, but you pray, your family prays, your dad prays. And he says, "All right, I'll pray what my dad prays right at the supper table." And he says, "I'll say the only prayer that I know." He says, "Oh Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Well, I hope that never happens to us. But in a sense, you know, when you think about it, isn't that what it is? Because you never know what is going to come your way. And whatever comes into your life, in your circumstances, we ought to be thankful. And so in a sense, that Bible, that prayer is the prayer that we ought to be praying. To be thankful to God that He has given us these things. Now, we think about Thanksgiving. And we think about maybe getting together with our friends to watch a football game. Or perhaps we're thinking about getting together and you're thinking about that turkey even now as you sit here. And you're thinking about that the stuffing and the cranberries and the pumpkin pie. But is that really Thanksgiving? And I know that we could go back into the history and we could talk about all those things and how people went forward to give thanks to God. And I think that's very good. But as you know, we live in a world where there's brokenness and people are going through hard times. Brokenness in relationship, brokenness in their family. There's no joy. There's no happiness. And in those times like that, how do we become thankful? Now, you know, as I look at the first century Christians, did you know that during the first century period, the lack of thankfulness was a trait of an unbeliever? You see, the believers that went to church, even though they were suffering, they went through all sorts of pain and ache in their life, they were always giving thanks to God. And if you weren't thankful, it just shows you that you didn't really trust God and you didn't really believe in God. For the Apostle Paul says this in Romans 1 and 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." So when one is so far away from God, the thankfulness goes out the door. And sometimes I look at our society and I wonder if we truly are thankful. Have we forgotten how to be thankful in our daily lives? We like to get up and maybe complain about a couple of things or two. And we say, "God, why do you put this in my life? Why am I suffering? Why am I going through pain?" And the Bible clearly commands us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to give thanks. In fact, this is what the Apostle Paul says. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now remember, the Apostle Paul, when he went into a city or a town, he would go to the synagogue. And that's the first place he went in Thessalonica. He went into the synagogue, proclaimed the word of God, and God was with him as he proclaimed God's word. And people that were there that were listening, their hearts were stirred. And some of them turned their lives totally to Jesus Christ, and a church started. But we know that there were also unbelieving Jews there, and they evicted Paul, and they threw him out of town. And Paul was wondering about the faith of these people, and how are they carrying on? Are they walking with Jesus when Timothy comes to give a good report? And Paul begins to sit down like the heart of a pastor, and he writes a letter to the believers in Thessalonica. And at the tail end of this letter, he exhorts them to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks, which was good for their spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. then what is giving thanks all about? And in my first part of the outline, we are commanded to give thanks in our circumstances. Now, how can we give thanks to God in all the circumstances that we're going through? Isn't it true that we rather thank God for the good that is happening and forget about that bad, the trials and the difficulties? I mean, some of us are here today and you're filled with problems and your heart is burdened. You come with a heavy heart and you're wondering, how in the world am I supposed to give thanks to God for this? And Paul commands of us, he says, to give thanks. I've heard of families who don't laugh together anymore. There's so much darkness in their lives. And yet, in amongst all of that, we are here at church. And the scripture exhorts us to be thankful. And that is a step of faith, to be thankful unto God. In spite of our suffering, we are to be thankful to God. You know, it is interesting to note that the Jewish people wanted to make trouble for Paul. They knew that he was preaching the gospel. They were anti-Christians. They put Jesus Christ on the cross. And now here was the Apostle Paul coming, telling about this message. And in Acts 17 and 5 it says, "But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out of the crowd." So their whole ideology, their whole thought was against what their own teaching is, and that is, you know, instead of having peace, they wanted to persecute the Apostle Paul and all those who believed in Christ. The Apostle Paul is looking at the Christians of Thessalonica, and he says, you know what, as I suffered, I want you to know that you too have suffered. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 2:14, it says, "For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews." So they went through suffering, but their faith was not shaken. I'm wondering today, as you come to church, that your suffering produces thanksgiving. Some of us are here today and perhaps we are suffering and we don't have any thanksgiving in our hearts because we just don't have the knowledge of the scripture. Some of us do not pick up our Bibles. And because of that, we are suffering in a sense. And it doesn't bring thankfulness at all. Some of us might have something in your hand and that you just can't let go of. There's some kind of sin in your life that you just love so much that you just can't give that to the cross. You can't leave it at the cross. And that, for that reason, there's no thanksgiving in your heart. But if it is testing of your faith in your suffering, you trusted in Jesus in your suffering, then I will promise you that it always produces thanksgiving in your heart. Thessalonians were tested in their suffering, and because of that, they begin to thank God that Jesus Christ is in their life. You know, I see that demonstrated on the cross. You see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying, and there was a man on his left and another one on his right. And there, as Jesus was dying, one man accused him and said, "If you are the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and us?" But the other man, the criminal who repented, he saw something in Jesus. And his heart started to melt as he saw Jesus up there praying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And because of that, his heart was melted, and he began to give praise and glory and adoration to God. There's something about Jesus. And I'm wondering, which side do you look at Jesus today? Are you filled with bitterness? Outwardly you could fool us, but inwardly you know that you're not right with God. One gives praise and gratitude to God, and the other is filled with bitterness and anger. And which one are we today? You know, I was reading the Daily Bread during my devotional time, and there was a story of a businessman who in time lost his business. He lost his house, and his wife, who had cancer, just passed away. There's three tragedies in life And yet he only held on to one thing he had, and that was his faith. One day when he was walking and looking for employment, he stopped to watch some men who were doing some stonework on a large church. One of them was chiseling a triangular piece of rock. And the businessman asked the worker, he says, "Oh, that's an interesting looking rock. Where is that going to go?" The worker answered, he says, "Do you see that little opening up there near the spire? I'm shaping the stone down here so that it will fit up there." That touched this man's life. He began to realize that God is working in his life, and as God is chiseling and doing all sorts of painful things in his life, one day there is going to be a place called heaven. You see, one of the things that as believers we realize that all of our suffering and all of the things that we go through in life is only for a moment. And that there is meaning in all of this. It's not just a hopeless, meaningless time. But in all of those things that Christ puts us through, he is working in our hearts and changing us day by day. So in all of that, we also see that we ought to look in our daily lifestyle. In our circumstances, we ought to look how we live day by day. You know how important it is for us to live a lifestyle of thankfulness. And that's what the Apostle Paul wanted from his people. I want you to learn to walk in a way of thanksgiving at all times. Not just at one occasion, not when everything is good, but even in those times when it's so difficult, I want you to believe and trust in God. You must remember that the church of Thessalonica were young believers, and Paul wanted to encourage their faith by walking in a manner that is pleasing in the sight of God. So then he says, I want you to do this. He says, I want you to encourage one another. I want you to encourage one another. Continually be thankful. And you know, I think that we were encouraged today as we listen and as we heard the testimonies of those who got baptized. You know, there's about, I think, 21 people getting baptized this weekend. And last night I baptized my daughter, and it was such a privilege and an honor to see her come to know Christ and give it all to Jesus. And you know, we celebrate together with all of our brothers and sisters, and even those who have become members of this church and have said, I am now going to dedicate myself totally to Christ. We are truly encouraged as a church to dedicate ourselves fully to Christ and say, I believe what this church, this ministry, and I give myself totally to Jesus. But during that time in Thessalonica, they were encouraged because they were waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. But there was a problem. The problem was that some of their loved ones have died. And they were asking the Apostle Paul, what about those folks who have gone ahead of us? And the Apostle Paul reminds them that those who have died would not lie in the grave, that they wouldn't be inferior, that both the living and the dead in Christ will live with Jesus for all eternity. And he says, I want you to encourage each other of this, that Jesus Christ is going to come. You know, the Apostle Paul lived his life believing that Jesus will come during his lifetime. And therefore, he says, encourage one another with these words. Continue to encourage each other that Jesus is coming back again. So let's live a life that is pleasing and encouraging and giving thanks and glory to God. You know, my friends, it makes me think how easily we forget that Jesus might come during our lifetime. I mean, we set up a schedule of our lives, don't we? I mean, some of us sit down with our family members and we talk about our vacation time. Some of us at our workplace might have a schedule for the whole year, and you already know, 2 or 3 years ahead, what's going to happen. And all of that, do you put in your calendar that Jesus Christ might come back today? Do you get up in the morning wondering, Lord Jesus, are you coming back today? You see, that's how the Apostle Paul lived his life, trusting and believing in God. And encouraging the believers to live a godly lifestyle because Jesus might come back. There was a woman that approached Dr. John Rice after a service. And she asked him, she said, Dr. Rice, do you believe that Jesus will come during your lifetime? He is now with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said at that time, he says, I live each day believing. and you must do the same. She was frightened. And Dr. Rice looked at her and says, do you have assurance? Do you know Jesus? She said, I do, but my husband is not a believer. He says, you need to pray. Pray that your husband will come. You see, it encourages us to continue to pray. It encourages us as we think about the coming of Christ, that we begin to pray and we begin to seek and see the loved ones come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. To see the urgency of believers encouraged and to pray together as one. So not only to encourage one another, but we are commanded to live a lifestyle of holiness. A holy lifestyle. You know, in verse 19, right after this verse, it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. In chapter 4 and 7, it says, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. God has called us to live a life of holiness. In our lifestyles, do we encourage to live a life of holiness that is pleasing in the sight of God? Did you know that the Holy Spirit possesses personality, for only a person can grieve? Every time you sin against God, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit, the thankfulness begins to dwindle. And joy is out of the window. And when you come to church and when you come to services, you come with a burden heavy laden because you have been sinning against the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You know, as Pastor Darrell says, we need to confess our sins before we partake of the Lord's table. Do you have any sin against a brother or a sister, against God? How important it is for us to live a life of holiness. A thankful heart goes towards a holy lifestyle. For our whole desire is to please God and to glorify His name. And then we are recommended to give thanks, for it is His will. Did you know that God desires of all of us to be thankful? That's His will for you. Now, I know that you probably think, well, okay, that's great, but you know, who am I going to get married to? Or how about my job? Or where am I going to be 10 years from now? What is God's will for me? And I think those are good things to talk about and pray about. But amongst all of that time with uncertainty in your life, you ought to be thankful because that is the will of God for you. God commands us to be thankful. It is good to pray, Lord, even amongst all of these things, help me to be thankful. The Bible says we are to rejoice always and to pray without ceasing. That means in the mode of prayer. And out of that produces a heart of thanksgiving. So His will is for us is to be thankful. You know, I love that story in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 28. And this is how it reads. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Now, I don't know about you, but when that would happen to me, I would think, Lord, you have answered my prayers. Now's my time to run. I mean, wouldn't it be the time to run and go to the church nearby as Peter was led by the angel out of the jail? Wouldn't you go out and say, boy, I need to repent, report this wonderful thing that happened to me in my life. You guys have been praying for me in prison, and here I am today having a prayer meeting with you. Not only that, but I brought some of these prisoners with me because they became Christians, and we're going to go out into the world. Now, that's the thinking that I would have. But remember, as Pastor John talked about last week, he says that because Paul was in jail, the gospel went forward. And that's why I'm saying it, a thankful heart evangelizes. And this is all I see evangelism. I don't see evangelism as something that is judgmental with anger, but rather a heart of thankfulness. Notice that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, and the prisoners were listening. As they were glorifying God, as they were thankful to God in their state, you think, how could you be thankful? There was something that Paul saw that these other men did not see, and that he saw the jailer who was sleeping. And because of that, he evangelized by giving glory to God, and he said to the man, don't kill yourself, we're all here. And that jailer accepted Jesus as his Lord, not only him, but his family. You see, thankful heart is a heart that evangelizes. And Paul was that type of person. He always demonstrated to the people of Thessalonica about evangelizing. In fact, in chapter 2, Paul speaks of how he lived out his life as an example, not being a burden upon you guys, he says. I don't want to be a burden. I want you to watch me as I continue to work hard and do the best I can for the glory of God. And then he says, I noticed something as I preached the gospel. He said this. He said in chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. You see, if it was from man, it would have been a self-centered message. And there were a lot of travelers that went around and preached these things. But the Apostle Paul, he preached the word of God. And his example of joy, of prayer, and thanksgiving led them towards the Lord. He wasn't just up there preaching. He actually demonstrated that, living each day giving thanks and glory to God. And the Thessalonian believers saw in Paul and his companions the joy and the thankfulness in their daily life and the word of God that brought such peace and adoration towards God that they turned their lives totally to God, totally to Jesus Christ. Did you know that when you're filled with joy and adoration, that you could lead someone to Christ? Imagine with me you being at White Spot and having a meal. And as that plate comes to your table, you say, let us bow and pray. Give thanks to God. That in itself, there are people around you who are watching you. As you pray and thank the Lord for all the things that God has done, and you give thanks for this meal that has been provided. I've heard of people from other parts of the world coming to Canada and limited in their English. They come to a host family where the host parents believe in Christ, and they demonstrate this joy and this prayer and thankfulness in their home, that even though the English ability is not there, they turn their lives to Jesus. Isn't that what evangelism is all about? The Apostle Paul gave joy to the Lord. And not only that, but because of that, his trials turned to joy. The Apostle Paul learned that affliction and deep joy go together, hand in hand. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. With grief, Paul realized, and as he looked at the trial of Jesus, as he looked at Jesus Christ, there was a joy in his heart because he said, I'm going to live my life for Jesus. Paul wanted to be more like Jesus. Paul got up every morning and said, boy, I want to live my life for Jesus. I want Jesus to be everything in my life. And so the trials that he went through in life turned into joy because he didn't look upon his own self. He didn't look upon all that trouble that he was facing, but he was looking to Jesus Christ. You know, as I was reading about Lois Albert Banks, and he was telling about this elderly man who had a fine singing voice, but soon found out that he had the cancer of the tongue. This elderly man, as he was laying on that table before this surgery, he asked the surgeon, are you sure that I will never sing again? The surgeon said to him, I'm afraid not. He says, it's okay if I just sit up one more time. And as he sat up on that bed, he began to sing from that old hymn, Isaac Watts' hymn, I will praise my Maker. That was his last song. It was Jesus that brought such joy into this old man's life that his last song was to praise Almighty God. You see, that is joy and trial together. And that oneness to praise God even in times of difficulties. To give oneself totally to Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we are to give thanks in Jesus Christ. You know, this is very much a Pauline style as he says that. He says, in Christ Jesus for you. But when you think about it, Paul loved Jesus so much that Jesus was everything for him. There was no one greater or beautiful than Jesus. As Paul suffered for Christ, there was more joy and thankfulness poured out of his lips. Isn't it true that one receives comfort and joy through the name of Jesus? When you're going through trials, pray to Jesus. Look to Jesus, and he will give you such joy. And that is why the Apostle Paul was able to keep going. Jesus kept him going, and Jesus keeps us going. Paul didn't want to rest until the gospel was spread. He wanted to tell people about this good news. He was filled with thankfulness and joy in his life. Yes, that ugly head of suffering appears in his life, but what was his focus? The second coming of Christ. And I think that we ought to know that we're getting ready to go to heaven. We don't know when our last day on earth will be. It might be today. This week might be your last week. And as we think about that, are we filled with thankfulness and joy in our lives today, or are we filled with uncertainty? You know, Jesus said to his disciples, he says, in John 14, he says, don't be troubled. Do not be troubled. He says, I have a place for you. I prepared a place for you. There was nothing but trouble around him. And yet the disciples had to hang on to those words. And so the Apostle Paul says, give thanks because today might be my last day. But Jesus keeps me going. Then last of all, Jesus gives us hope. You know, the Apostle Paul had such hope in the future that he always gave thanks to God. You have a wonderful future ahead of you. Did you know that? We ought to be thanking God that we're going to be in heaven one day where there'll be no more pain, sorrows of any kind. You know, if we go to a Christian funeral service, it's wonderful because we go with hope. You have come to church today with hope in your heart. You said, Lord, my life is troubled, but I come with hope. And I give you thanks and glory. Back in 1967, there was a young lady who was about 17 years old named Johnny. She had a diving accident. She thought that the water was deep, but it was shallow. And because it was shallow, she became paralyzed from her shoulders down. She could not do the things that she used to do. She said that all my dreams disappeared of having a future, having a success, being married, all of those things that I wanted so badly has all disappeared, and I just wanted to die. She tried on many occasions to kill herself, but she couldn't do it. And finally, she prayed from her heart. She said, God, if I can't die, please teach me to live. And then the first visitors that came by to see Johnny from the church opened their Bibles and they turned to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. She thought when she heard those words, she was filled with bitterness and anger. How can I give thanks to God for these things? They looked at her and says, Johnny, you've got to give thanks by faith and not by feeling. You see, she didn't know about the future. She didn't know that there's going to be Johnny and friends helping the disabled people. She didn't know that she was going to be on the radio or be on TV. She didn't know that she would be speaking to hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people and changing people's lives. She didn't know any of that, but she had to learn at that very first part in her life is to be thankful to God. My friends, that is one of the things that we need to do is to be thankful. And when you believe by faith, you say, I'm going to be thankful by faith. I'm going to trust in God. She said, the more the ability, when I lost all those ability to do things on my own, I began to lean on Christ more and more. I don't know where you are, but are you leaning on Jesus? And if you do, you will thank him. You will give praise. May today, this weekend, be a weekend of thanks unto God. But may we do it by faith. Even amongst all the trials and the difficulties and the problems that we have today, let us take it to the cross and leave it there. Trust in him. Shall we stand together and pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this wonderful weekend of thanksgiving. And today is such a beautiful day, Lord. It is so natural for us to just say thank you for the mountains and the trees and the flowers and animals that roam on the ocean, from tree to tree and swing from tree to tree. And Father, all sorts of fish. And Lord, you made them all. But Father, there will be days of cloudiness as well. There will be days in our lives when we will feel down and discouraged. But help us to remember, Lord, to be thankful. No matter what happens in our lives, that we will put Jesus Christ first and that we will prepare our hearts to live a way that you want us to live. Lord Jesus, if any of us are hurt, that we will give this to you and say, Lord, it is painful to be thankful in this situation, but I believe in you, I trust in you, and I give myself to you. So no matter what happens, Lord, I praise you and I thank you and I glorify you. May that be our prayer today. And so, Lord Jesus, we present ourselves to you, a living sacrifice. May it be pleasing in the sight of God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Lift up your gaze.